thanksgiving, I'll be a living witness. Thanks you for amen and amen and amen. Just let it be that the Lord would see fit to use us as a sanctuary, right? Amen. Good to see everybody in the house of the Lord. If you'd like, turn into scriptures, turn to Revelation 1, where we've been studying for a while, and we'll try to read a few more scriptures. Remember, Danny talked to Joyce this morning and said that he was resting a little bit better and things, and they still don't know. They're pretty sure he won't get to come home today, but probably tomorrow. But said they did get him up. I talked with him yesterday. They did get him up a little, but they kind of won't let him put weight on his foot, you know. But they're, you know, doing, start doing some things more today, said, with him. But just remember, because his blood pressure, it went down real low, went down to like 80 over 50. But now it's picked back up. It's like 106 over 80. It's picking back up and doing better. But just remember him, and now his heart rate is kind of down this morning. So remember that, and just keep him in your prayers that the Lord would do it. And remember the Dunnigan family in the passing of Brother Fred Dunnigan. A lot of you knew him. He passed away Friday. And they're having a kind of memorial type, or just a service this afternoon, viewing of friends from 1 to 2. So we're going to try to cut a little short on the service and get through eating and run up and be with them and everything. We couldn't get to do the services because of you know, the time and the things like that. So, but, you know, they wanted us to do it, but we couldn't. But anyhow, just remember that, and we'll try. If any of you want to go, just eat as fast as you can, and we'll try to run up and be with them there for a little bit this afternoon, then run back for the service. All right? Revelation 1. Good to see everybody. I don't know. We've got a brother back there. I don't know whether he's new or not, but if this is his first time of being here, we always say welcome to visitors. But if you've been here twice, you're just part of us. So, you know, just think that. You won't get welcome to next time. You're just part of us. You know, we're all just one in the Lord, but good to see you. Amen. Father, we thank you for your love and your grace unto us. We thank you for salvation. Thank you for peace and joy in our hearts. Thank you for all things, Father. And I pray that you would just bless and guide each one of us, Lord, that we may all come to the position of being a sanctuary, Lord, for you. Cleanse us and guide us and keep us now, and just be with each one. Remember Danny, Lord, there, and just bless him and take care of him. Remember the Dunnigan family, you know, and the loss of the loved one, and just have your way with each one. Let your grace be sufficient for all of our needs. Forgive our sins and lead us and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. Revelation 1, we'll just read verse 19 and 20, because we're getting down to the end of chapter 1. You know, it's been on a little series on the book of Revelations, trying to get a little better understanding about some of the things and all, and I hope you've enjoyed it. I've enjoyed speaking on it. Anyway, verse 19, well, let's stop. Let's go back up and read again what we've been. Verse 12, and then we'll come down through 19 and 20. And I turned to see the voice that spake with me, and being turned, I saw seven golden candlesticks. And one in the midst of the seven candlesticks, and in the midst of the seven candlesticks, one like unto the Son of Man, clothed with a garment down to the foot, and girt about the pouch with a golden girdle. His head and his hairs were white like wool, as white as snow, and his eyes were as a flame of fire, and his feet like unto fine brass, as if they'd burned in a furnace, and his voice as the sound of many waters. And he had in his right hand seven stars, and out of his mouth went a sharp two-edged sword, and his countenance was as the sun shineth in his strength. And when I saw him, I fell at his feet as dead. And he laid his right hand upon me, saying unto me, Fear not, I am the first and the last. I am he that liveth and was dead, and behold, I am alive forevermore. Amen, and have the keys of hell and of death. Write the things which thou hast seen. Now watch. So the title of the message will be three things. So here it is. What is it? Write the things which thou hast seen, already seen, and the things which are, that's going on right then, you know, there, and the things which shall be hereafter. the mystery of the seven stars which thou sawest in thy right hand, and the seven golden candlesticks. The seven stars are the angels of the seven churches, and the seven candlesticks which thou sawest are the seven churches. You may be seated. The Lord add his blessing to the reading of the word. Now on verse 20, I gave you a quote there in the quotes where the prophet said that God gave the interpretation of what the candlesticks were and all. He said, because that way it would, you know, he would give it himself. God gave the interpretation himself of what that was meaning, because he said the mystery of the seven stars. He told the mystery himself. He didn't wait and just put it down and let it be done. He wanted that to be put there to where that, you know, you could get a clear understanding. See, like you get over later and he reads like the waters and all like that. And he said, and that's people and all like that. He wants us to know those things. To me, I've tried to tell you now, the book of Revelations to me, after the prophet's message becoming into it, it has become a very simple book. It is the only book that is actually written by the Lord Jesus Christ appearing personally to a scribe to write it. And see, you, if you've got a red letter edition Bible, then you see a lot of it there is in red letter, meaning the Lord Jesus Christ himself is speaking that, you know, bringing the message straight. All right? And in doing that, then it's the book of Revelations is not like we've all been taught, you know, stay away from it, you can't understand this, and you can't understand that, you can't do this. Well, why not, now that the prophet has brought us the message? See, we can understand the symbols. And once he brought it, it was so simple until we should have seen the things that, you know, ourselves. We should have understood a lot of it ourselves. And we did to a degree, and, you know, the people to a degree understood certain things and all and preached on it. But, you know, now that light has shined, we shouldn't have any problems. We can just go to the message and find out what the prophet said about it. All right. Thank God for sending us a prophet to where that we would get this understanding, you know, to where it would be the truth. All right. But see, remember now, when this one that John, he said he fell down at his feet. Brother Branham, I explained it last Sunday, we went through it, that this is not a prophet. This was not a prophet that come to John. This was God Almighty that come to John. It wasn't a prophet. It wasn't Jesus in a prophetic realm. You know, we know he was the prophet because he was God of the prophets, because we believe in one true and living God. But yet that was not just a prophet bringing the message. That was the Lord Jesus Christ himself coming to bring his message to John. All right. See, then that way we can keep it in the correct order and see that we know this is true, because as we've read there, he said, I'm the first and I'm the last. In other words, I'm the beginning. I'm the end. So that would have to be Almighty God, wouldn't it? See, we can go back easily and talk about Melchizedek, you know, where he said he had no mother, had no father, no beginning of days, no ending of life. And say, well, that had to be God. Well, why can't we read here, see, and see the one true and living God that's revealed in the Word? Then that way your symbols will be simple. You know, because it makes it self-explanatory. See, like I've always tried to tell you, like when the seals were broke, see, the prophet said, here stands a lamb with a book in his hand, reading the scripture, and said, out there goes the white horse rider. Well, see, he saw two people. And seeing two people to a Trinitarian, that wouldn't have been no problem, would it? I mean, if you're a Trinitarian, you don't have no trouble with seeing how many peoples you can find in the Bible. You can just find people here, people there, and all kind of things, you know. But we understand that it's God changing his form. God in morphe, the word for it. Changing his form to where one person can play many parts of a play. It's just changing the form. And see, that's what it was. Then the Jehovah the old is Jesus of the new. He just changed his form. He just came in a form then to where that we could see him and understand him and walk in that. Now, he said, I'm the one that was, you know, that liveth and is dead, you know, was dead. Now, who was that? To show now that it goes on into the truth of one God, who was it that was living but died? The Lord Jesus Christ. He said, and I'm the one that went to hell and got the keys of death and hell and that. Well, who was that? The Lord Jesus Christ. Who is the Lord Jesus Christ? One true and living God. See, when Jesus said, I and my Father are one, that's not two people. That's not two personalities. That was two forms. Two offices. You know. Two positions or two points that you're dealing with. Alright? So then we know we have the truth. And we can see that the truth is unveiled before us. You know, in the end time. Alright? Now the prophet said, I gave it to you why we're not a denomination. 1958, 9:27. He said this when John turned to see, it's not on your notes. When John turned to see the voice, he saw the bride.
Right. Amen.
He saw the bride.
Right.
Why? Because it's standing in seven golden candlesticks. And like I told you then, it's not the Son of Man standing here and seven golden candlesticks back behind him. Because it says in the midst. In the midst of the seven golden candlesticks. See? Alright? So then it wouldn't be the Son of Man standing there in a human body. John didn't see, when he turned to see the voice, he knew the voice because it was the voice of the Lord Jesus that he knew from earth. See? But when he turned to see the voice, see? When he turned to see it, he was expecting to see Jesus Christ, but he didn't have any trouble what he saw. Because what did he see? He saw the bride. Why? Because it's girded about the paps with a golden girdle, see? Feminish. Huh? See, but it's one like unto the Son of Man. It didn't say the Son of Man standing there. Because he's in the church ages in word form. And to come out in the end time to be back to the Son of Man, to Luke 17:30, and all of the scriptures and things to be fulfilled in our day, to where that we can see and know now that the Son of Man is here, the Word is here. Who is it? The prophet said, it's the rising of the sun. Who is this Son of Man? He said, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and the Word was God. But it's God in another form. So what form is he appearing to John now by? In bride form. And like we went through it and went over to show that this was the white throne judgment, the prophet said. I told you the greatest thing that I could think of was God showing us before he ever even started writing the church ages down and giving them to John and showing how bad we were. You know, you got a name that you're living but you're dead and all like that. Before he shows how bad we are, he showed how good we are. He shows all the way to the white throne, and us sitting on the throne or in the throne with him. And then we went back to the book of Daniel 7 to pick up the white throne judgment. Then went over to verse 13 where it says that there was one like the Son of Man came to the Ancient of Days. That's not two people. Who is the Ancient of Days? It was the Lord Jesus Christ, Almighty God, one true and living God. All right. Who is this Son of Man? Bride. Who sits upon the throne with him to judge? The bride. Who is she? The Son of Man. So I'm sitting here, I don't know where Richard, he probably wasn't in the family then, but I know Charlotte was there and all down at Athens in 1969 when I preached the bride of Jesus Christ is the Son of Man. Richard was probably wouldn't they wouldn't marry him, but he was in church with his daddy, I'm sure, there at the old Holly Heights. See, because I believe that. I believe the bride of Jesus Christ is the Son of Man made manifest upon the earth. The Word made manifest. But he's not here in a corporal body. That's why he's not shown as one standing, and then seven golden candlesticks. He's in the midst of the seven candlesticks. Right? Standing there showing himself to be in the church. Because what are we talking about in the book of Revelation? The book of Revelation then is like visions or dreams, like the book of Daniel. But yet it's actually scenes, you know, like a movie scene. You know, you go down to the movie house, like when we was little kids, you know, we'd go and, well, they'd always put this big scene on the thing, you know, when they give you a little introduction to what was going to be next week, because they wanted you to make sure and come back. So they'd give you this real fancy scene, you know. You said, man, I won't see that. The rest of the movie might have been dull as all get out, but you wanted to come back to see that because you saw a little scene, you know, of what it was going to be. Right? Well, see, the book of Revelation is a scene. That's what I want you to get. It's a scene of something taking place. That's why the title of the message is three things. This is number 8 of from the book of Revelation. Three things. John, you're going to be shown what has been, what is going on now, and you're going to be shown the things hereafter. All right. So you're going to be shown all of these things. All right. So in doing that, what are we seeing? See, to look at the book of Revelation, if you took the book of Revelation and you made a movie out of it, you made a movie out of it. Like I said, you would always start with the things. You'd start in chapter 2 if you was going to make a movie, because you'd want to show how bad everything was before you showed what would be the good part, right? But now this is not like man's movies, you know. That's the way we would make it, right? But this is the way God shows it. But he shows us a scene. Chapter 1 is a scene of God and his church becoming one. Just like Daniel, as I said a moment ago, the Son of Man, one like the Son of Man, came to the Ancient of Days. That's no problem. Well, that's two gods. No, that's not two gods. That's God trying his best to reveal himself to you and me.
Right. Amen.
You play many parts, don't you? I'm a father, I'm a son, I'm a grandfather. I have many, many titles to my being, but I'm only one person. But now I can't be grandfather to my wife. See, that's not the right position. Wrong scene. To her, I'm her husband. But yet now, I can be to her a husband and be a father to my children and a grandfather to my grandchildren all at one time. Right? That doesn't make three people, does it? It's just many manifestations that I have. It's the form that I'm dealing. My kids then don't call me granddaddy. I'm daddy to them. All right. But neither does the grandkids. They don't call me daddy. I'm their granddaddy. I have many forms to deal with, to where that I can people can, you know, see me and know that who I am. But I'm just that one person. So then think of the book of Daniel. Think of the book of Revelations as being like scenes. And think of it like that were that when you see a movie, that you see, like I said, if you made the movie, you'd make it backwards. You'd show how bad we are and then how good we are. God shows how good we are, then turns around and shows how bad we're going to be, but then winds up telling how good he's going to make us. But he's already showed you how good you are in him. Not how good you are in yourself. That's where we miss the book of Revelation. And that's where the book of Daniel is. To me, the book of Daniel is one vision. Yet he sees part, he sees part, He sees part, he sees part, he sees part. It's just one thing. It's explaining the Gentile dispensations and the things that are to take place. The coming in of the beast, and, you know, the book of Revelation takes it over to show the Antichrist and the thing. But it seems we're in this scene right now. Now, naturally, we're living over in chapter 2, or 3, really, because of being the seventh church age. But, you know, see, we're in the church ages. And all of these things we see are being made manifest. We're living out the parts of the play that you and I, that it was written for us to do. So don't think of the book of Revelation as something hard to be understood. Think of it as being showing you and where you're at. Showing you and what you're doing. It shows all the way. That's what John was showing. John, show what has been. You started out here. You was with me in the beginning. You saw the things. You walked with me. You saw what I done, how I died. You saw how everything took place. I told you that I would come back and live in you. Now I've done that. I'm here now, present. I'm even here now to show you what that new birth that you've had is amounting to. Then I'm going to show you the future because you have that new birth. Because without that, you can't see the future. It won't work out, alright? So then it's showing the revelation of one true and living God and how He's revealing Himself. See? Where? In you. See, people read over there in Revelations 4 and 5, you know, and they read and they'll say, well, there's the throne. And it says one sitting on the throne. Then after a while you see a lamb come forth. Get into chapter 5. And he takes the book out of the hand of the one sitting up on the throne. The prophet says he climbs up on the throne and sits down. Souls in prison, I gave you the quote on it. Climbs up on the throne and sits down. What's that being done? Then we read Revelations 3:21-22 through that, where he that overcometh will sit with me in my throne, as I've overcome and sit with my Father in his throne. When did that take place? When Jesus Christ died and raised, he come forth in the form of called the baptism of the Holy Ghost to live in the hearts of the saints. That's the Father's throne. The Father's throne is in your heart by the new birth. But then promised in this life stage to come to the fullness of the domain, our dominion, our throne, to fulfill, as I was given the other day, where the woman asked that her son sit one on one side and one on the other. In your kingdom, she knew he was talking about something. He said, that's not for me to give him. You know, not me, for me to give. He said, because, Brother Run said, because the test hadn't come. All right? See? He's talking about what happened down through time. The book of Revelations is explaining, and the book of Daniel is explaining what has taken place from Calvary and Jesus Christ walking on the earth and the ministry and the thing, explaining that down through time. And it's people living those parts. If there's a play, somebody's got to be the actors. Now, we're not actors like Pharisees, because that's what the word Pharisee means actor, because that's what they were doing. They were acting like they were religious when they went. We're not those type of actors. We're the actual characters. We're the actual people ourselves. We're not actors. If we are, we need to be born again. The new birth makes you what you're supposed to be for the age you're living. We look down through time and we can see those people. You know, see the Fox of Book of Martyrs, where millions died, fed to lions, dogs, and just cut up and all kind of things to cut the babies out of a mother and just feed it to a hog and let them just stand there and die. Cut their breast off and let them just stand with the blood squirting out and telling them, deny that Jesus Christ you believe in. Well, what I could never understand about it, because I'm just honest and I reckon I'm so carnal I can't comprehend. You could have said back to the man that was cutting you open, well, who do you believe in? Oh, I believe in Jesus. Come on, they did. But his mom was greater than he was. You know, plain language. But you see, church, what I'm trying to get you to see is John was shown the past, the present, and the future. So you can read yourself right in the book of Revelation. You can read yourself right in the book of Daniel if you know what you're doing. All right. So there was the Ancient of Days in the book of Daniel, the Lord Jesus Christ, Almighty God. And here comes one like the Son of Man. And it talks about the dominion and things it's given. Why? Because it is. It's to us. We're the body of Jesus Christ. See? And He's living in us and making us, see, to be where that we can sit down in the throne that we're promised in this day. So look at the book of Revelation and read it that way. Do you read? Well, there's a throne. I don't understand about a throne. I guess up in heaven there's some kind of a throne. And here comes a lamb. It calls for a lion. They sure are confused because when it calls for a lion, and then here comes a lamb. And he comes around and takes a book out of the hand. That would be a kind of a sloppy book because that lamb, so slabber-mouthed, you know, coming around to take the... I never did understand how come people sent their dogs after the paper, because I don't like to read a sloppy paper. I'd want him to wear a mitten in his mouth before he brought it to me. But it's all right. But listen. See, looking at the Bible as seeing ourselves. Looking at it as seeing ourselves. That's what I'm trying to get you to do. Is to read the Bible yourself. You don't have to worry about what it means. If you need to know what it means, I give it to you in each service what these things mean. If you need any more, come to me after service. We'll go through the prophet's message and pick out some more. Yeah. But you see, church, trying to get you to see that the one that took the book out of the hand of the one sitting on the throne, that wasn't two people. He climbs up on the throne, the prophet said, and sits down. He said, become the one on the throne. What is, that's your revelation. The new birth put Christ in you, right? Is that true now? The new birth puts Christ in your heart. Is that true? Alright, that's the throne. That's the throne that we are. We are His throne. See? We are the temple of God. See, that's why we don't want to deal with the Antichrist, because he sits in the temple of God and shows himself to be as God according to the Bible. What is that? That's not some kind of great big animal deceiving the world. Now, that don't deceive nobody. See, it's what's going on right now. Read yourself in the Bible and see what the Bible says about you. Right. But see, people get spiritual enough to catch a little bit. You know. Now understand what I'm fixing to say. They get spiritual enough, they think, and they say, oh, I found myself as a doubting Thomas. No, you didn't. you blowed my bubble. I found myself as a doubting Thomas. You ever put your hands in the side of the Lord Jesus? You ever put your fingers in His hands? How are you going to type that? But you see, everybody wants to type. Brother stood right here one night in the, we were talking about the seals, and he said, I saw myself as a white horse rider. Then I become the red horse rider. Then I become the pale, and then I the black, and I become the pale. Well, I know I'm mean. I know that. You don't have to tell me. I'm arrogant, hateful, and mean. Stubborn. You don't have to tell me. But I couldn't help it. Because everybody was, amen, that's right. I got behind him. I said, that ain't even true. I said, because first off, the white horse rider, the red horse rider, the black horse rider, and the pale horse rider is the Theron beast, which is unredeemable. Now, that's what your prophet said. It's unredeemable. Theron beast, those beasts can't be redeemed. But I said, brother, if you'd have just said it this way, I'd have amened you. If you'd have just said, I used to be in that system that was overrun and guided by the white horse rider, the red man. I said, that'd have been fine. But you didn't say that. You said you found yourself. Well, I didn't find myself that way. I found myself in the revelation of Jesus Christ. I already knowed how bad I was. I already knowed I was born in sin. I could read before I ever got saved. By the way, saying something about that, you know, if nothing ever happens in the world out of this and us being on the internet system around the world and the things that we've sent out and all, a man sent an email. He said, Brother Dale, I got saved listening to one of your tapes. Hallelujah. I said, thank God. Thank God. He said, now I want the Bible and the rest of your CDs. From Guyana. Thank God. Listen, God will take care of it. You don't have to worry about it. Sure, we're hunting the lice seed. But you know what? God's hunting it. He'll find it. See? But He may use you to find it. See? He may use you. All right, just be willing to do. But now listen. All right, let's get on to it. John. All right. Let's just read this, and if I brought it. I want you to see this one. I think it's the wrong one. Let me find my paper. I think this is in there. If not, I can quote it. Yeah, look on number 4 of your notes. Let's just read this entire thing because it shows what I'm talking about. It shows the book of Revelation as the revelation of one true and living God, and where He's at, He's in bride form. Showing Himself to the, you know, not as a corporal human body, but in the bride, in you and me. And it shows what's going on. So let's read it. Page 22 of the Church Age book. But let us not stop there. Read now in Revelation 3:21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. Also read Hebrews 12:2. Looking unto Jesus, the author and finisher of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross, despising the shame, and is set down at the right hand of the throne of God. Notice that according to Jesus himself, who wrote the revelation, he is set down with the Father. The Spirit in Paul, which Spirit is the Spirit of Christ, for that is the Spirit of prophecy whereby the Word comes, says he is set down at the right hand of God. But when John looked, he saw only one upon the throne.
Right.
And it was not until Revelations 5, 6 through 8, which follows Revelations 4, 2 and 3 in sequence of time, that we see the Lamb taking the book from him that sat on the throne, as indicated in Revelations 4, 2 and 3 and 9 and 10. What is it? It's the mystery of one God. He, Jesus, came out from God, became manifest in flesh, died and rose again, and returned to the bosom of the Father, as John said. The only begotten Son, which is in the bosom of the Father, he hath declared him. John 1:18, it was now time for God, Messiah, to come back to claim his bride and then present himself, make himself known to Israel. Thus we see God again stepping forth to assume a physical relationship to man as the Son of David, King of Kings and Lord of Lords, the bridegroom and the Gentile bride. It is not two gods, but simply one God manifesting his mighty triune offices and titles. What are we talking about? The revelation of one true and living God. What does the book of Revelation show? The revelation of one true and living God. But it's got to show the bride. Why? Because we're the life form of God upon the earth. See? To the Gentiles. Then he steps over and two witnesses to Israel. But we're the life form, the life dimorphe. Right? So then what we're doing, we're seeing ourselves. Alright? So John is told. Now John, write what you see. You're going to be told what has been. You're going to see it and write it down. You're going to see what is now. And you're going to see the future. I know this is one that was argued a long time ago. Let's see if I can find it. I remember the people when studying the church ages years ago, this man thought he had it all figured out. He said Paul couldn't be the messenger to the first church age. You know why he said it? He said because Paul was dead before the age started. Boy, he really straightens out, didn't he? Well, I can't help it if I can read. And I believe what the prophet has to say instead of what you and I have to say. You and I. Okay? So I happen to remember this little quote. Number 3 on your notes. Page 76, Church Age Book. At the time of the giving of the revelation, according to tradition, Paul had already died a martyr. See, John's on Patmos at AD 95-96. Alright? Paul's already died before then, done been killed. The first church age started about AD 53. And that's what your prophet said, about AD 53. That's page 74 of the church age book. But see, watch what he says here now. According to tradition, Paul had already died a martyr. But John was carrying on in his stead exactly as Paul had done in the days of his ministry. The death of Paul. Now, to me, what he's saying there, because I looked up other things, see. You know, when I see something like that, I look up other things. John was carrying on in his stead. See, John was actually carrying on Paul's message. All right? Carrying on the revelation of Jesus Christ. See? Right on and brought it into greater depth than John brought it. Right? So that don't have anything to do with the fact, like he said here, the death of Paul before the revelation was given does not at all annul the fact that he was a messenger to the Ephesian church age. For the messenger to every age, regardless of when he appears or goes, is the one who influences that age for God by means of a word manifested ministry. Paul was that man. But are you thinking rightly? Paul was the messenger to the age. But John is shown what? John, write what has been. So when John wrote in Revelations 2:1, what was that? The church at Ephesus. We'll get to that. Who was the messenger of the age? Paul. Paul's done dead. John's writing about him. Wait till we get to this afternoon when we get on to a little word called salutation. All right. What a great salutation for John to write about Paul. After Paul's done dead. And tell it about it. Alright, but listen. John, you're going to see what was, what is. The AD 95 and 96, he was already over in the first church age. Time-wise. And then the things to come. Because you're going to be shown those three things. Now, when I thought of that, I thought of what It says back over there that we were reading where he says, I'm the first and I'm the last. I'm he which was. Now we done read these in chapter 1. And I'm he which is. And I'm him to come. Hebrews 13:8. Right? Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. Doesn't matter if John was writing about Paul after Paul was done dead. He was writing about what Paul done. He wrote the first church age down about what Paul done in that age to try to bring them the truth of the word. It's simple once you sit down and let the Holy Ghost take over and then say what the prophet said about it. Somebody says something to you and something inside of you just rings out and says, wait just a minute, I remember a quote. Brother got up one night in a minister's meeting we was in, and he preached how that Paul was a married man and probably had kids. I got up behind him, and I said, Brother, I just can't see that. Well, he was a member of the Sanhedrin, and to be on the Sanhedrin, he had to be married. I said, first off, the Sanhedrin was all messed up. We'll just start right there. I said, because that was the one that gave the trouble. You know. And I said, second off, Brother Branham said he wasn't married. He said, show it to me. It took me a long time, because we didn't have the computers then. It took me years to find that quote. But I found it where Brother Branham was talking about Paul, and said, Paul said, I got a right to have a wife if I want to, like Jesus was quoting. He said, but I don't. And I just told the brother that night, I said, let's just take the Bible. Okay? Paul said, I would that you would be like me. So that means I got to kill my wife. Why? Because if he didn't have a wife, I got to kill my wife. If he had a wife, Paul said, be like me. So everybody got to go get married. I said, brother, you think it sounds good, but it's not. It's what you've been taught. But the prophet, and I finally found it, where Paul wasn't married. You know. But listen, church, I'm not trying to show how smart I am. I just can't help it. I've been called that, smart alex and everything else. But it's because that I found where the prophet said it. And Paul said, if I become your enemy because I told you the truth. I mean, people have got mad at me because I told them what Brother Branham said. I said, I didn't say it. Brother Branham's the one that said it. See, I'm trying to get you to see if you'd see the Bible for yourself. I've never tried to get you to fall for, I mean, to go after what I say. Now listen, I've never tried to get you, now listen on tape and don't misunderstand and cut me off. I've never tried to get anybody to believe what Brother Branham said. Wait a minute, brother, I do. No, I've tried to get you to believe what the Spirit says through somebody. Which he spoke through the Lord Jesus Christ, and it was written down by the apostles. He spoke through the aged messengers and the ministers and things. He spoke through Brother Branham. Amen, we believe that. But you can say everything Brother Brown says and die and go to hell. But you let it be revealed to you what Brother Brown said and get in your heart. There ain't no way you can go to hell because you can't put God into hell. You understand what I'm getting? So I'm trying to get you to see yourself. It ain't going to put you in a rapture to believe that Brother Dale's got this or that or the other. It's going to put you in a rapture when you realize who you are. And what you got in your heart, then don't worry about it. You'll know what I got. Amen. Come on, we use that old phrase, don't bite the hand that feeds you. You know. When you get what God reveals to you about you, I don't have no trouble about who I am. Because he'll show you where it come from. He'll show you the vessel that it was brought in. And that would be the greatest honor I could ever have, is to stand on that day and point you to Jesus Christ. But I'm trying my best to get you to see today who you are and what you're doing. You are a living Bible. You are a walking Bible, walking before the world. The only way people, they've tried to read the Bible, they couldn't understand it, right? What's the trouble with the people? They can't understand it. Oh, stay away from the book of Revelation. You just can't understand anything. Why? Because they don't know what it's saying. They're looking for some like my brother-in-law, and I'm not throwing off on him. He said, you know, that beast would be some big old animal. I said, you mean that's going to deceive the world? A King Kong? You know, is going to deceive the world? But see, then he'd go over somewhere else and spiritualize it. You know, I said, why can't you spiritualize that and see what the beast is? Why can't you see what's going on? Like I said a while ago, I don't have no problems anybody telling me how bad I am. Because I know how bad I am. I know how bad I've been. But I know God don't see it that way. I know how bad you are. I know how bad you've been. But God don't see it that way. And that's one thing He's put into these eyes. You've never stood and looked at anybody. If nobody that I've talked to you that ever said it. Because I did one time. He allowed me one time to back up in my head. It looked like a telescope, just like that. I'm not saying it was Brother Colley, I'm just using it. But it was just like I was looking at him, and all at once, I just went right back in like that, and I saw him in a telescope. And I saw the real person standing there. And it looked nothing like what my eyesight looked when it come back. Because when I looked and I come back, I saw the same person it was when it went away. But he allowed me one time to see what it is to be able to see what God does. He don't see us, folks. He sees the blood. There's a bumper blood over the world. He don't see us. He sees us pure and white. He hears our voice through the blood. That's what I'm saying. The book of Revelation shows you how pure and great and holy you are, and how that you're the very essence of what the Lord Jesus come. What was it that Jesus didn't understand? The prophet said he didn't understand when he was coming. The prophet said he didn't understand his part in the kingdom. Now those quotes, I gave them to you. So what wouldn't he understand? What was it that he wouldn't understand about his part in the kingdom? Could it be that he wouldn't understand how great the new birth would make you and I? That it would make us the offspring of Almighty God? That it would make us gods in human flesh? The Bible said we are. Come on. The Bible says that you are God. Now wait this minute, Brother Dale, because the devil tried to be... No, the devil's trying to say he's God. The Bible's trying to get you to see that you are the offspring of God. That you're co-equal with Him. Amen. By the new birth. Amen. By the new birth you come to where it said the Bible says we're heirs and joint heirs. I'm quoting Scripture. Joint heirs means you own the same. Amen. Right. It doesn't mean joint heirs. Don't mean one's got 40 and another's got 60. Like the big man in this message said, Jesus was only half God. Well, I'd be tickled to death to even realize he's just half. Because there was a time I thought he was third. Right? Wasn't there a time you thought he was one third God? Because there was three of them? No, the Bible doesn't say that. The Bible said in him dwelt the fullness of the Godhead bodily. And it says in the prophet said, in the bride would dwell the fullness of the Godhead bodily. All right, but listen, let me get on her up. This is what was given to John. And he writes it now. We'll start on that this afternoon, the Lord willing. He writes it to the churches. And he shows the past, like I said, of Paul and the first church age that had already been well underway when John gets the revelation. So he writes about that. Then he's writing about things that are going on right where he's at. And the things that will be hereafter. Shows him all the way to the future home. Because he shows him the book of Revelation, the entire book. All right? See? Now watch. He was to write John was to write what he saw. But that wasn't all he was to do. He was to write it and give it. Doesn't every church age say unto the church at Ephesus? Unto the church at Smyrna? Unto the church at Pergamum? Isn't that the way the scripture reads? See, John is not only told what to write. He says, you give it to them. Give it to the angel. Write it down to where that angel of that age will pick that up and take it to the people. It's a wonderful thing, isn't it? He interprets, as I said, what the mystery was, verse 20. He interprets that to where that it won't be misunderstood. He tells you what the stars are. He tells you what the candlesticks are. To where there's no way you can say, well, I don't know what the candles are. I don't know what stars are, so I don't know what he's talking about. He tells you plainly what he's talking about. The stars were the messengers. The candlesticks were the church down through the ages of each age. And he's in the midst. The mystery of the seven stars, the mystery of the candlesticks is interpreted by the Lord Jesus himself where he won't, where there won't be no problem. And that's why I like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. People say, I done read that before and I read other things. I like Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Because this is the way I like it. You know that Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, I've told you many times this statement, but some of you new ones listen. Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John is the writing of the disciples about what happened with the Lord Jesus Christ, right? How he lived and what he done, etc. But why don't you ever think of it like this, and it might change your ideas about reading it. Do you know that message that Jesus Christ brought was so important, he didn't trust it to a prophet? He didn't have a prophet to write that. He came himself. That's how important the message that the Lord Jesus had. The prophet said a birth pain. He said it was hard to get them Pharisees to realize they were sinners to where he could even die for their sins. He was the only one. A prophet could just come and do certain things. And sure, he could speak. But if it wasn't the Holy Spirit, even a prophet could stand and tell one. It wasn't, now listen, it wasn't John the Baptist that told Herod that he had the wife over there. Everybody in the land knew that. Everybody in the land knew that what John said. I think that's the right one, is it? Herod, one of them, anyhow, he told him about, said, you got your brother's wife? Right. Well, everybody know that. Right. Why did he get so mad at John? Especially her that wanted his head. Right. because she believed that John was a prophet. Now, not in the correct way. Because she believed, the people believed John to be a prophet. And she didn't want that to be out, that the prophet said it. Because she was saying, if the prophet says it, that was God speaking. Right? A prophet is a mouthpiece of God. All right? That's fine. But what he says, if it's not put on the other end, if it's not made known to you what a prophet says, it does no good. Right? But see, Jesus was not the prophet. He was the God of the prophets. You can't come to salvation. Oh, I just read the, I read over there in Romans where it said, believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Because with the heart man confesses, you know, and with the mouth a man confesses, and heart and he believes from the salvation. I got saved. You'd never had that if it hadn't been a Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Are you understanding me? If it hadn't been a Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, where Jesus Christ took it and he showed what actually would happen at each stage, and how that unclean spirit would be driven out at sanctification through the planting of the Word. Amen. Those parables and things, the Pharisees finally figured out he was talking about them. You know, it took a long time for them really to get it. They still didn't know what he's saying, because if they'd have known what he's saying, they'd have killed him right off. Because he was telling them which side they was on. See, that message was so important, he didn't trust it with a prophet. Yet we say, I understand Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Yeah. But do you understand that was God himself speaking? All right, now listen. Do you realize then the book of Revelations is the only other time that God spoke that you have in your Bible as red letter? Because you go from the red letter edition of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John through the disciples. Amen. That was God speaking. But get what I'm saying. Then the book of Revelation is where it comes right back to the same very God speaking himself. Not a prophet. That was what I was trying to get at you the other day. When John bowed down before the man, it was no prophet. John, you're going to see the past, you're going to see the present, you're going to see the future. I'm going to show you Hebrews 13:8. That's what I'm going to show you. I'm going to let you know what Hebrews 13:8 really is all about. Because I'm going to show it to you. And I'm going to show it to you as people. Because that's what he started writing, right? To the church at Ephesus. To people. Church at Smyrna. To people. Now, if you'd have been there in Ephesus and read that, what would you have thought when he said you've left your first love? Well, that wasn't the bride. Now, Brother Branham's the one that said it. I didn't. I know I've been ridiculed over this. Brother Branham said that the bride went to Nicaea. There's some here that don't believe that. But that's what your prophet said. See, then I just say what he said about it, and the rest of it I let it go. But some here don't believe that. But read what your prophet had to say about it. He said the bride went down to Nicaea to try to bring those people back and got caught. Because for sure somewhere they lost the faith of the fathers. You got to remember that, and I know what people teach about it. They say, oh, what it was, it just killed off all the people that had it. You can't kill off the Word of God, folks. He's going to have his way. Come on, Brother Dick, let's close just a little early and just sing a hymn if anybody has a need. That way we can run up to the funeral home and be there for a few minutes. Let's stand. Because I would have been sure to have done all I could. Fred wanted me to do the funeral. His mother told me. But when she told me the times, I just couldn't do it. I told her, I said, if you'll change the time, this change is 11 o'clock in the morning. I'll be glad to let somebody else preach, and I'll come, and I'll do. But couldn't be done, so I'm sorry. So we're going to try our best to go and at least be there for a little bit with family and things and all like that. And just pray for the family. It's busted up and a lot of things. Fred had a lot of troubles, but Fred tried on some of the things. He would come and he'd try, but he just couldn't, you know. So, that's nothing to me anyway. I have to just be what I am. Right. Let's just sing a hymn if anybody has a need.
Psalm
136 in the red book. If anybody has a need, the altar's open.
We are gathering together unto
him. Are you?
Really bad yesterday and today. Just thank the Lord for pressing through, coming where I should have been. Hopefully, need a prayer call from my grandma to send up to her.
Amen. My brother said the Lord touched his shoulder. He's doing great. We believe that. Now he wants a prayer call for somebody else. Let's just believe.
Amen.
Believe and see. Anybody have a need, just come.
Together,
run. Father, we thank you for touching our brother, fulfilling thy word. We believe you. We thank you. Now let this, Lord, that our brother has asked about this one that he's asked for, we commit it to you. We believe you, Father. In Jesus' name. Anybody else?
Yeah.
Unto him shall. Father, the Labby Grace got a problem about not wanting to eat right, Lord. Everything. We believe you, Father, that by your stripes you touch that as well as anything else. We love you and we thank you. In Jesus' name. Anybody else?
Let us lift our voice in praises unto him.
Unto him shall the praises of the people be. He let us live. Brother Tom called me there yesterday, and we know that he'd lost one eye and everything. They had some glaucoma, however how you pronounce that word, in his eye, in the good one. And he called me yesterday. He said, I just want you to know. I went to the doctor and said they checked it and everything and said, I don't have any glaucoma in my eye. Amen. Don't have it. It's gone. So believe. Believe and you'll see the truth. All right? Amen. Why? Because he is the same yesterday, today, and forever. You believe it? Father, we don't never want to cut short, but we know we're going to just try to go and be with the family for a little bit of Brother Fred. Bless the family, Lord, and take care of them. There's kids there and there's grandkids and mom and all, Lord. And just we thank you for an opportunity to have been known, to have known Fred and all these years and been with him. And oh, Father, we wish maybe we could have done better things for him and helped him in more ways, but we tried in the gospel, and we thank you for the fact that he did come every once in a while and get the tapes and listen. And Lord, we don't know all the rest of it because we don't know the story, but you do. We pray now that you would just bless the family today as they're going through the time of the services and all of the memorial for him. And just have your way, Lord. Forgive our sins and lead us and keep us in Jesus' name. Amen. You're dismissed.
Oh.